You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
The better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up into the lives of others, we would have a more productive world around us. And so on this evening, I've got a special guest with me, and this is one of my sister friends. We've been friends since college days, Saluki, S-I-U-C. Her name is Dorian H. Nash. She's an author. She's a playwright. She's a speaker, and she's the co-author of a book entitled Do You Love Me Still? Would you be so kind to put your hands together for a virtual hand clap for my sister friend Dorian H. Nash. Welcome to OMG, the Omar Aguero Radio Show.
Well, hey, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight.
I'm glad you could be here, Dorian. I'm super excited. Now, I've got Facebook Live going, and I'm hoping they're going to chime in with some live questions to ask you. Because one of the things that I want us to unpack today during this show is, you know, love, just period. We want to talk about love. We want to talk about when you lose love, how do you heal from love. We want to talk about when you're in your heart, you want love. How do you attract love? You know, how do you counteract and diffuse? How do you rekindle love when you're in a relationship and it seems like the love, you can't find love. It seems like love is hiding somewhere. So, Dorian, I'd love for you to unpack a little bit of what love is and then share a little bit about your book. Now, those that are on Facebook, I know, will not be able to hear Dorian, but if you log on to up2meradio.com, you can hear it live so that you can hear her and me while we're going in. But, Dorian, share a little bit about your book, Do You Love Me Still, and share where it came from.
Oh, absolutely. So this was definitely a project of love between my husband and myself, and we've been married almost 19 years. We've got two beautiful daughters. We're going to actually be empty nesters in a couple of years. I have my daughters, one will be a senior in high school and the other a junior. So we're almost at the finish line, y'all. So but just very, very blessed to have, you know, to have had them. But to answer your question, so Do You Love Me Still actually centers around a song by Chaka Khan called Love Me Still. And that song is our song, right? So to kind of unpack it a little bit, when we started this process, and I was sharing with you earlier, every chapter in the book relates to a song title, and every song title relates back to our relationship. So we like to say that when you read our book, you actually have the soundtrack to our relationship. And so we compare our relationship to building a home. So there's layers to this thing. So you got the songs and the soundtrack, but also we compare a relationship to building a home. And so you got the footprint of the home, then you've got the foundation, and then you got the framework. And so and we break it. Yes, right. And so we break it down into sections.
Wait a minute. So you repeat that part about the foundation, about building a home. Repeat
so
that part
gotta
just
have
one
that,
more time.
You first got to have the footprint, right? So before you build, mm-hmm. you got to plot out the land and figure out, you know, what kind of home you want, where you want it, the dimensions of your home, similar to when we're out there looking for a potential relationship or mate, what are you looking for? So you're building that footprint. Then once you establish mm-hmm. that, then you got to have that foundation. Well, what do we have in common? What are the things that draw us to one another? What is it, a healthy relationship? Is it toxic? If it is, what are we building on? Are we building on a firm commitment, or are we building on, you know, sand? So you got to establish that firm foundation. And then lastly, that framework. So now we got the footprint, we got the foundation, but you don't want your house to look like everybody else's house. Your framework is going to, even, we know every house needs heating and plumbing and electricity. That's the basic. But do I have a Georgian? Do I have a colonial?
Mm.
Do I have a ranch? The uniqueness of your relationship and the framework that you build. And so we hope that what we share in our book is to help every couple. Like, again, we call ourselves, our moniker is the Extraordinary Everyday Marriage Duo. And somebody said,
ooh,
well,
I love
why
it.
Y'all,
extraordinary,
why y'all,
wait a minute, extraordinary what?
The Extraordinary Everyday Marriage Duo. Now, I know we sound like we fight crime. we put on a cape. But really, what we're trying to convey is that we believe that every marriage can be extraordinary if they're willing to put in the work on themselves and on their relationship. And we're no different than anybody else. Yes. Every marriage relationship
can be extraordinary if they put in the work.
Yep.
Mm.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
And that's for real. I want to repeat a couple of the things you said. Every marriage can be extraordinary if they put in the work. You also say you call yourselves the Extraordinary Everyday Marriage Duo. And then you said you liken relationships to building a house. Every house needs to have a footprint or the blueprint. You plot out your land, what kind of home you want to build, what the dimensions of the home are. And then you said you go into establishing a firm foundation. What is it being built on? You know, trust, commitment, love, and all of those things. And then you say you
Absolutely.
Talk about the framework of the house or the relationship. Each house needs heating, electricity, and water. But what is the uniqueness that your home or your relationship will have? I think that is just juicy. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And I love the fact that every, you know, that your relationship is built on like the soundtrack of relationship. I love that each chapter is around or centered around a song, a title song, a theme song. And I think if everybody had a theme song to their life and a theme song to their relationship, oh my goodness, how happy would we be?
Well, you know, it's funny because when we started this process and started really, you know, going through what do we want to talk about, how do we want to do this thing, it seemed really natural for us, again, because that's something that's very prevalent in our relationship. But even now, like when we're driving, and we're not perfect, we still argue, we still bump. Let me be clear. We still have, you know, bumps in our relationship. But
absolutely.
I tell you, But because we've written this book together, we have, it's kind of like we almost like challenge one another in a good way. Like particularly if a particular song is maybe on the radio, maybe it's Lovely Day, and all the things that we wrote with regard to Lovely Day, and we like, hey, babe, I'm sorry. You know, let me help you have a lovely day. And so it's been helpful just having, I recommend to any couple, you want to get closer, write a book together. It's going to reveal so much.
You said if you want to get closer, write a book together?
Yes, I'm telling you. It's going to reveal so much, good and bad. But even the bad stuff is good because it helps. It's an opportunity for you to grow closer. You know, if you really, take it, you know, for what it is. Because quite honestly, as we began to unpack certain things, and I'm sure people that are listening can relate, you might have some pockets in your relationship of certain things you just don't talk about for whatever reason. You know, like, oh, if I bring this up, it's going to be an argument. If I bring this up, we're going to talk about his brother, his mama, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it could be, you know, kind of a touchy subject, right? But what happens is that stuff never leaves. It never goes away. It's just under the surface. But if you're able to, you know, put yourself in an atmosphere where we were able to and really begin to unpack that we're not judging each other, that we're not piling on one another, it was very therapeutic.
That's some good stuff. You know, there was a lot that you just said in terms of, you know, a lot of times when you collaborate with your mate, and these, of course, this particular conversation, of course, is for those that are either currently in a relationship or a marriage or a partnership, and collaboration can bring about good or bad, as you just said. You said you said it could bring about good or bad, but even the bad is good because when you reveal some things that you've had lying dormant, when you reveal some things that you've had underneath the surface, when you reveal some things that you've been biting your tongue about or that's been bubbling underneath the surface but you haven't had an opportunity to share, but collaborating forces certain things to come out. And if you allow them to come out in a constructive way, then you're able to start taking some of that stuff off the plate, taking some of that stuff off your heart, erasing some of the erasing some of the filth or film that or the residue that has been building up from something that sat improperly on you maybe 2, 3, 4 months ago that you can now get some clarification on. Because if you're collaborating on a project, it forces you to really kind of explore it. In order to get to the bottom of it, Dory. Oh, I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it provides also is a healing. There was some healing that took place because there were certain aspects for both of us that we just never knew the other person felt or thought about certain things. And, you know, the full title to our book is Do You Love Me Still? How we got through the first 7 years of marriage and beyond. Because one thing that we saw, you know, for relationships around us is that statistically, if you can make it to year 7, you have a better chance of staying married long term. However, a lot of couples don't even get to year 7, right? And so we know that there are many couples that have been married, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we strive to get to that level too, but we felt like in this pocket of our lives, we can speak to those couples that are, you know, just getting married within those first 7 years or just thinking about getting married, and how do you heal? Because you're going to hurt each other. I mean, let me just be clear.
It's unintentional. You're right. In a relationship, you're going to hurt each other. It's unintentional, but it happens.
It happens. And let's be honest. Sometimes it's intentional. Let's be real with that, too.
That's right.
Okay.
You're right. That's
sometimes
right.
It's intentional. And because we're not perfect people, you know, we would respond in certain ways because of what has been modeled before us, right? But even in that, when we began to unpack certain things, there was a healing that took place because I was finally able to see it, like you just, in your opening, getting that right perspective, you know, because until I walk in his shoes and vice versa, I didn't get it. I was like, what you talking about, Willis? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So,
what you talking about, Willis?
You need that.
Love it. You really do.
Yes,
yes. Your husband was chiming in saying, that's my beautiful wife. She is my foundation. Hallelujah, Brother Sean Nash. Hallelujah, Brother Sean Nash. Your husband was like, yes, she is my foundation. I love it. You know, one of the other things that I think is absolutely awesome. Now, Dorian and I have known each other for over 20 years, and we go way back to our college days. We ran into each other at a grocery store, and it was like we picked up where we left off in college. And it's even better because we grown now. We weren't grown back then. We thought we were grown, but now we're really grown. And as Dorian and I were talking before we went on live, we were talking about how each chapter of your book is the title of a song. And I want to kind of go into it. And you said it's kind of like the soundtrack to your relationship. It's the locator, if you will, for where you all were in different seasons of your life. Now, at 19 years of marriage, now I know that's a beautiful soundtrack. You got some ups, you got some downs, you got some left and right stuff. And I think that's what makes the whole that much sweeter, that much more beautiful. So I want to have you unpack some of it, and just for my Facebook listeners and those that are tuned in live, as she's talking, I'm going to type some of what she's saying so that I can give you some of the nuggets that she's given me in my ear. And again, if you'd like to tune in live, it's uptomeradio.com. That's up the number 2meradio.com so that you can hear her and me. And if you have questions, that you'd like answered about relationships, being in love, falling in love, falling out of love, hurt from love, give us a call, 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. Press 1, and we'll enter you into the queue so that you can ask your question live on air. So, Dorian, let's go ahead and talk about some of the chapters of your book. Now, you named up a couple of chapters that are like songs that are near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to go a little bit out of order because there's a couple that are just the bomb diggity to me. So if you play your cards right, everything's going to be all right. All right. Tell me about if you play your cards right.
Well, so that chapter, we actually focus on vulnerability. And the biggest thing that a lot of couples are dealing with, or just people in general, is learning and being able to be vulnerable with one another. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable, because first of all, in society we're taught to, you know, to really bolster ourselves up, to make it seem like we're more than we're not. And when you just come like, this is who I am, these are my, you know, my flaws, this is who I am as a person, you could be rejected. And one of the examples that we talk about in the book is in my younger days, I had gone to the doctor, and the doctors had, you know, several doctors had told me, you're not going to be able to have children, right? And so when I met Sean, at a certain point, that's not the first thing I mentioned, but when it became more evident that we were getting closer and closer, and we talked about family, and you got to pick the time, you know, when to have that conversation. But I knew that he really wanted to be a father. That was something that was very important to him. But it would be unfair of me to continue in the relationship knowing at that time, or thinking that I knew, but God said different, that I could not give him kids. And so I had to have that conversation. I had to be vulnerable and say, honey, I don't think I can, you know, give that to you. And be okay if he said, that's a deal breaker for me, you know, and to let the cards play where they will, you know what I mean? And that was tough. But to God be the glory, my husband said, well, we will adopt. But but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know what that would be. And how could you know? But you have to be willing to be vulnerable and to be honest. And that's not always easy when we're showing our, whatever that foible or that flaw is, but you got to give that person the opportunity to deal with it.
Praise God. I love everything that you just said. You know, to be transparent when you're if you play your cards right, lay your cards on the table, let somebody hear it. So the doctors were saying you couldn't have children, but God had another plan. But in the midst of the doctor saying you weren't going to be able to have children, you had a conversation with your he wasn't your husband at the time, right?
Right, he was my boyfriend. Yeah.
He was your boyfriend at the time. She had the conversation with her boyfriend so that he would know, because he wanted children. And he was like, cool, I'm with you. If we have to adopt, we will adopt. But God had a different plan, and they were able to conceive, and they have two daughters, correct? Two daughters, correct?
Correct.
Excellent.
You know what's crazy? And you know what's crazy?
What?
Is Taylor is our honeymoon baby. So.
Ooh, y'all had a baby on a honeymoon. Taylor is a honeymoon baby. Oh, Dorian, we've got a caller. Somebody wants to ask you a question. So let me, if you don't mind, we're going to call the caller in. Caller, the last four digits are 4020. You're on live on the OMG show with myself, Laura,
I know who that
and,
is.
Of course, Dorian. Okay, come on in, whoever you are.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Sean?
That's my husband.
I figured it was Sean. When you said, when I called out the last four digits and you said, I know who that is, I said, that no sound like I knew you. Like in the Bible, when you know somebody, you'd have been with somebody. Praise the Lord. Sean, it's so good to hear your voice. So good to hear your voice. I know you ain't really got major questions because you know all them answers. But go ahead and share something so that we can allow our listeners, those that are going to be tuned in via iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app, as well as those that are tuned in live via Up to Me Radio. And I'm going to transcribe what you're saying to those that are tuned in via Facebook Live.
Yes.
Hello, Sean?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can now, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
go ahead, babe.
Hello? Yeah, so first of all, love you. But the question is, we spent the last month just being crazy busy. And I know there are other couples. I'm currently in San Francisco on business right now.
Yeah.
The question becomes that, and other people's experiences too, the question becomes, when you're that busy and you have limited together time, how do you find ways to remind each other to continue to have that real necessary in every marriage?
So wait. When you're busy, because you're going in and out a little bit, when you're busy, you're saying when or how do you find the time?
Yeah, how do you manage to find time, and what are some of the things that you can do to maintain that intimacy, that closeness when you barely pass your house because one person is either traveling or something of that nature?
Okay, so I'm going to repeat it because your phone is kind of going in and out. So it's saying, you're saying when you're busy, for example, you're out of town right now currently, and of course Dorian is here in Chicago, and you're saying when you're busy, how do you manage to find that time to maintain that intimacy and closeness because one person may be out of town and the other is in the home city holding down the fort?
Correct.
Perfect. So, Dorian, let's go ahead and have you, of course, answer that question so that we can educate everybody, including myself, because I travel a lot for my husband, and my husband travels a lot as well.
First of all, babe, so good to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you all day. Hey.
She's telling the women, her husband said he loved her, and now she's saying, I love you, and I haven't talked to you or heard your voice all day. I'm just filling in some of our listeners on the social media.
But
y'all giving me an ear cavity.
But I'll say this. I think that's a great question, babe. I'm so glad you called in. But I think one of the things that we are very cognizant of is doing the little, you got to do the little things. And I know that you do it as well, Mara, because, for instance, we don't sleep well when we're apart from each other. Like when he's in San Francisco right now, and we don't sleep well. So we always connect at night. When he gets in, the regimen is he'll call from the hotel where, you know, wherever he's at, and we, like, just kind of talk each other to sleep. That's something that we pretty much do. And I think the other thing that, and I know that you do this as well, is you just have to sacrifice some time. Like, if that's Monday evening or whatever, like, this is our space and that we reconnect. For us, it, a lot of times it has to be in the evening. And so it might be Sunday evening or it might be Saturday afternoon. But we'll just carve out that space and say this next hour, this 2 hours, whatever, we're going to just, you know, a couple of weeks ago we went furniture shopping, just the two of us. Now, some people may listen to that and go, that's not fun, but that's fun for us. And so you have to figure out what it is that you can do as a couple that brings you joy. And so that's different for different couples, but again, that speaks to that framework that we were talking about. And
no two houses are the same.
Right, exactly. And sometimes Sean and I will just go somewhere and sit on a bench and just people watch. We love to do that. And we create whole scenarios and stories about the people that we see. And we just laugh and joke about that. It's the little things. It's just really, again, putting in the work to sacrifice for that time and that space.
I love it. Put in the work. Make sure that you connect in some way, shape, form, or fashion. If a person's out of town or not, you need to make sure that you have a set-aside time. Also, one of the other things that you shared was not just connect and talk one-on-one, but you said you guys have a hard time sleeping sometimes when you're apart, so sometimes you'll talk the other person to sleep in a good way, just having conversations late at night so that you can help facilitate and foster the comfort of being near that person when you get ready to go to sleep. So I've got a question. Since both of you are on the line, what is a good nugget or tidbit for somebody who's in their singleness that wants love in their life? I mean, what kind of advice would either both of you or one of you give to help someone who's looking for love or desiring love, help them find it? You know, are there any, you know, places that you know that people should go or things they should do? I gave a nugget on Facebook Live saying first love yourself. So I've already given that piece of advice. If you don't love yourself, it's really hard to allow someone to love you and or be in a position to love someone else yourself. So that first thing is, of course, love yourself. What's another nugget you may be able to share with someone pre those 19 years you guys have been together, back when y'all was, you know, single and your heart was to be in love?
Baby, do you mind if I go first?
Go ahead, sweetheart.
I love the way you communicate. It's beautiful.
there are two things that stand out to me. The first chapter in our book is also love of self first. But with that, you've got to be willing to teach your partner how to love you. And what I mean is, you know, you've got to be willing to say what it is. Sometimes we could be in a relationship and just kind of just go with the flow with something, but we really don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're in a marriage relationship 20 years. You're like, I never liked roses. Why give you roses every year?
Yeah.
You know, but I never liked them, you know. And so you got to be honest and really teach your spouse, teach your partner how to love you, what it is that you respond to. One of the things that Sean and I had to talk about is, for example, for me, I don't do well if Sean has to raise his voice at me, right? Now, some people come from relationships where they yell and scream, and that's how they communicate. I don't do well with that. And I said, baby, I can't yell at me. And he's like, I'm not yelling. I said, but it sounds like yelling to me.
It's the passion. Sometimes people communicate with passion and their voice gets loud, but you're saying even though the person is communicating with passion, because of the tone or the sound, it appears to be arguing, and that didn't sit well with you, so you relayed that. Because you're right. some families, some people, every family, every person comes from a household that communicate differently. And so you're saying if you came from a household that when you're passionate, your voice gets louder and it gets to that timbre where it can lightly feel like an argument, especially if somebody doesn't know it. You're saying be honest enough to allow your spouse or your boyfriend or the person you're dating to know what your do's and don'ts are, what your likes and dislikes are. Don't be afraid of losing the person by sharing that.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you'll be 2-3 years in telling them what you don't like, and then they'll be wondering, saying, you've changed. When you never changed, you just were never forthcoming. You were never honest, which is what causes a lot of people to be misled in relationships. Girl!
Absolutely.
See, that's why I wish Facebook could understand this. This is why I wanted her and Sean on. Because this is that's where the rubber meets the road. A lot of people aren't honest. They aren't transparent early on because fear causes people to think they're going to lose somebody. But the reality is you're going to lose them down the road because you're going to get tired of being a person that you really aren't. You're going to get tired of phoning in a smile when you really don't like to smile, or phoning in niceness when you really, you know, want to be salty. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
To add on that,
men, all women know that men are kind of, we're clueless. We can't read minds. We ain't good at it, and it takes us at least a decade to figure some of the stuff that you guys are thinking out, right? So, again, that's where the transparency comes in. But the other thing I'd say is find someone that enjoys the simple things in life, right? Because that's going to be your day-to-day. Find someone that is compatible with the simplicity of life. If you find that person, that's a potential mate. I mean, we spend a lot of time in our courtship whining and dying and spending money we ain't got, right? Trying to impress, take people out to, you know, exotic places. But we never soak in the day-to-day simplicity of life. And that's where you should be finding ultimate joy. If you can find joy in the simplicity of life with that person, that's someone you should be thinking about being serious.
Yeah. Oh, babe.
I love that nugget because you're right. It's like we spend so many hours of the day actually doing just mundane, simplistic things. And so if someone is looking for those mountaintop experiences where you're taking them to the 96th restaurant or Morton's or some Mr. Chow's, those aren't the everyday places that you'll be going to dine at every single time. So if somebody is so concerned or interested in the big bang moments like the vacation or the $150 dinner outing or the big dozen of roses versus I am the rose, meaning I'm going to show up and I'm going to bloom for you, or I'm going to be able to just spend time with you having a great conversation, or holding hands and walking down the street is just as appealing to me as us traveling around the world, being on a beach, holding hands, walking on the sand. You're absolutely right. Sean, good, 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 good. I'm clapping for you. Very good information. You're absolutely right. That's where we habitate.
Yeah, well, you know, I will only add to that, and Sean and I say this to each other all the time. A lot of relationships, when people say, well, I just fell out of love with that person, oftentimes you didn't fall out of love, you fell out of friendship because they stopped doing the stuff that made them best of friends. And because I can love you, but if I don't like you as a person, then that's where it becomes problematic. And so, we want everybody to understand love. But for those that are listening that are thinking about a relationship, you really need to be thinking about, is this person my friend? Can I see myself laughing and joking with them and being my real self with them as my friend? Sean and I, when we met, I lived in California at the time and Sean lived in Chicago at the time. And we didn't even lay eyes on one another for the first 3 months of our relationship. And so, in fact, on my phone right now, his name is not there. It's my heart. That's how he's labeled, because he won my heart in our conversations. And it wasn't about, like, all the things that he just said. It wasn't about doing all the whining and the dining. It was the conversation. He gave me his heart. And that's what we fight to keep 19 years later, each other's hearts.
Now I almost went bankrupt on my phone bills.
wait. You almost went bankrupt on the phone bills because y'all were courting over the telephone. Because back in the day, they didn't have these kind of sale packages where you could call by a non-dium, and it was just one.
It was just, you know, my bell back then, you know, so.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, but
you
make that time.
Yes, you have to make the time. You know, and I tell my husband, and it's so interesting because I say this all the time. I say, I absolutely love you, but guess what, baby? I like you too. Because when you like somebody, that's going to stand the test of time. Doing those simple everyday things and loving a person for who they are, not what they do. For who they are, not how what they say to you. For who they are, not all the other stuff. We sometimes put so much hot sauce on the gifts, on the trips, on the dinners, on the outings, when, like you both have just shared with us, there's more time that we're going to spend in the simplistic, mundane, everyday, ordinary, average things of life, that if you don't have that kind of rapport and relationship to like the person you're with, then you're going to be looking to go out every single time or go bigger the next time, and it'll put a person at a space where they feel like they have to continue to produce something in order to keep a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And eventually there will be a bar that you will not be able to meet.
Yes, there will be a bar you will not be able to meet. That's good, Sean. That is so good. You guys are giving some amazing nuggets. We should take a break, but I don't want to take it just yet. So let's continue on, and if we have to skip our break, we'll skip our break, because you guys are dropping good information, and I want to continue to allow the listeners to tune in. And if you have a question, I want you guys to chime in. We had someone that chimed in and said he and Tanya, Pastor Jono and his wife Tonya, have been married for going on 27 years this September, and they have four gorgeous daughters and a son-in-law and a grandson, and they said they've gone through ups and downs, ebbs and flows, triumphs, disasters, storms, sunny days, storms, and cloudy days, and sunrises and sunsets, but they're approaching the empty nesthood in a few years. He says they've embraced the various shifts, knowing that God got them. Marriage is work of love and grace. Godly couples with a human love to bring it to growth. Grace is God's power to work in us to accomplish His will and experience His love. Grace expands our capacity to see the other person as He sees them for us. And I have a phrase on that. I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor Jono. And I'm sure you guys will agree with this. But I was once doing an interview at Crenshaw Christian Center where I had to interview Apostle Price, Frederick Price, Pastor Price Jr., and Nick Cannon and his father. And one of the questions that I asked Apostle Price is, I said, when you and Dr. Betty have a disagreement or you don't get along on something or Dr. Betty's sharing something with you and you don't want to hear it, what's your response? How do you react to that? And he said to me something I will never forget. He said, when she's sharing something that I may not want to hear, you know, like when women say, let's have a talk, and guys are like, oh, God, what is that? That means something bad. The hatchet is coming down. He said, instead of getting defensive about it, he merely puts God in between her and himself. He said, so that everything she says is seasoned with the view of God first, meaning when she's talking to him, he knows that she loves him, so he hears her with the ears of God. When she's frustrated with him, instead of seeing the wrinkles that may be in her or the frown that may be on her face, he sees her through the eyes of God, and therefore when she's talking, he sees nothing but love. And I'm sure you guys can agree to that we don't always hit that mark, where sometimes we take it personally instead of purposefully. But I believe that is a very beautiful example of how we should react and respond when somebody that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt loves us, but in a moment they're just trying to clarify something, or like you said, or earlier, Dorian, they're trying to reveal something to us that have been sitting dormant that has become a little film, and they're just trying to wipe off the residue of something that was negative or bad. And instead of us receiving that with ears that are looking for, you know, condemnation or judgment, receive it saying, you know what, this is on my husband's heart or this is on my wife's heart, therefore it's important to me. And so receive it through the eyes and ears of Jesus. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. I think one of the ways that we implement that in a practical way is to, we say to one another, I want to look through this through your lens. As opposed to my own lens, because my lens, I got that really clear. But to take that step back and say, let me really try to look at this thing from his lens or her lens, from that perspective, I think that's where God comes in and allows us, you know, because there have been times, I'm sure, you know, we can all attest to, where I feel I'm 1,000% right in something. And something my mother said to me, she said, baby, do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Because in marriage, it's not always about who's right. But it is about how you see one another, how do you deal with one another. And so me trying to, you know, win, quote unquote, win an argument, you know, the phrase, you can win the battle but lose the war, is sometimes you got to really pick your battles about how you communicate to one another. One of the things that Sean and I do, and we talk about in the book, is how we argue. Like, you know, we call it.
When y'all argue, do you fight fair?
I will say this. We're not perfect, but we have ways that we deal with one another. Like, there's no cussing each other out. There's no calling each other out each other's name. There's no talking about family members. And so when we we also try never to say, you always do this and you never do that. We try never to lead with those adjectives.
And we don't rehash in list form. We deal with the issue at hand. The issue that's being discussed.
Well,
we try very, very hard
sometimes I mess up.
Well, we both do, right? But we try very hard to say, well, you know, use it as a form of build up for other past hurts that we've either discussed or didn't discuss, or try to, you know, build up this case, right? We have a singular issue that we're addressing, and that's what this is going to cover. Now, that's not to say that you can't be frustrated or you can't be angry, but again, it's about looking at the issue and at each other through a lens of love rather than through a lens of anger.
Yep. I love that. Fight fair. Don't curse each other out. Don't rehash a laundry list of all that you've been upset with for the past year. If you're dealing with a issue in this moment, deal with the issue at hand. Don't talk about each other's relatives. Discuss what's happening now in a singular issue so that you can get to a conclusion. I absolutely love that. My sister is saying, I used to be cutthroat, but I've gotten much better. And my sister and me both came from the same cloth, where our mother used to castrate, you know, she used to castrate men. And so we learned to fight by screaming and cussing and yelling and fighting and the whole nine yards. And I used to be guilty of that too. I would verbally castrate men because that was my tool. That was what I used. And I left that alone probably about 7 or 8 years ago. I was able to work through that so that my voice doesn't even get raised. The only time I get passionate and raise my voice is when I'm preaching and speaking and teaching now. But I used to use profanity. I used to yell and scream and the whole nine yards. And I realized that not only did it fall on deaf ears, but it was like hammering a nail in our marriage coffin or our relationship coffin each time I screamed and yelled. So, yes, Dale, I get it. Yep, that's exactly what I used to do. I used to do the same thing, and I'm so glad that there are people that are making progress, but they have to identify where it came from. And instead of, like I used to say, oh, that's just how my mama was. You know, I used to just blame it on her. That's how my mama was. And then it dawned on me, wait. I've been grown longer than I was a kid being raised in her house. So now I have to take responsibility for how I
disagree,
how I fight. I had to own that.
Yeah. Yep, we call them rules of engagement. Yeah.
Rules of engagement. I love it. So let's go to another one of you guys' song. There's so many. I'm gonna name a couple, and then you guys pick the one you want to talk about. One, House Is Not a Home by Luther. Lovely Day, of course. Bill Withers, Just for Your Love. Mind blowing. Decision, as you can tell, the one that I really, really, really love. I'll Be There, I Apologize by Anita Baker. So share with us, I know what it is. You pick one, Sean, and you pick one, Dorian, and then unpack the chapter or the song of that chapter.
Okay. Baby, you want me to go?
Tell me
you
what,
go?
What the title is, and then share what it is.
I pick I Apologize.
Okay, that's good.
Because I think that's one thing that, it, particularly when you're in the early stages of a relationship, is hardest to do. You know, everybody has a certain level of pride and can be prideful, and it takes kind of a certain level of humility and compromise to be able to, you know, get past whatever hurts that you feel, whatever anger that you feel. And have a certain level of humility to be able to continue that conversation to get to a resolution that allows you to progress in your relationship. And so and everybody has different ways of how to receive an apology. So you've got to learn how, you know, the best way to communicate an apology that will allow your partner to see it. Because just saying I'm sorry sometimes is just not working. That doesn't work. You know, and some folks appreciate a gesture with the apology. Some people appreciate, levels of, every apology should have a level of acknowledgement of your role and how it got sideways in the first place. But I think every apology or every person has a unique way of how they accept apologies, and learning how to do that for your partner makes that partner see that the apology is actually genuine, and it shows that, you know, I see you, I hear you.
Oh,
I'm trying my best to understand you, right? And that goes a long way to getting to a point where now you can get past the issue, or discuss the issue further, and like I said, come to a middle ground that you can both live with.
Yeah. If I could add to that just a little bit, babe. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Let me unpack it just for a little bit for those that are tuned in also on Facebook.
Sure.
Because one of the things I heard you say, Sean, is an apology that is open and blanket is not an apology. Is not a one size fits all. You didn't say that in those words, but that's what you're saying. An apology should not be a standard one size fits all. Just because you say I'm sorry doesn't mean that the person is going to receive it in the way that you were really trying to say it. So take some time to know your mate enough to tailor mate and craft an apology that is sufficient and is satisfactory for the person who's going to be hearing it, because it is that person whom you're asking an apology. You're asking for forgiveness. And I love that you said, take the time to hear them, take the time to understand them, craft something so that they know you are trying your best to relay to them how very sorry you are. Now, granted, I know you didn't use all of those words because I'm a woman and I'm a little verbose right now about it, because you said something, Sean, that resonated with me about, you know, sometimes people go, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry. And that sorry doesn't just hit it. And it's not because you're not hearing the words. It's because sometimes you hear an I'm sorry because a person is really saying, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to fuss about this anymore. So I'm sorry. Instead of the sorry that the person is really wanting to hear, which is, baby, I'm so sorry that I said it that way. I didn't mean to say it that way, but I understand you because it came out all wrong because I had a bad day at work. And I'm not saying that this is the reason, but because I had a bad day at work, I brought the bad day to the house. So when I responded to you, I said X, Y, and Z, and you took it this way because I said it that way. So when you unpack an apology to the point that it is tailor-made and customized for the person that's receiving it, you have then made an attempt to understand what it is that they needed the apology for. Ooh, Sean, I know you ain't say all of that, but that's what I got out of what you said.
As a lawyer, I'll endorse that legal paraphrasing.
Sean just said, as a lawyer, he's going to endorse that because I did a summation of his dissertation. No, I'm just playing. So thank you for that.
Well, I just want to, babe, you did, that was beautiful, babe. The only thing I would say to that is that forgiveness and compassion and patience are the balm any marriage. That if you don't have that, forgiveness, compassion, and patience. That's what that chapter is really talking about, and I apologize because along with all the things that Sean was just mentioning, because if you don't have those characteristics in abundance in your relationship, it's kind of like, you know, when we drive our cars must have oil or you're going to blow the engine out, and then you don't have a car anymore. That's what patience, compassion, and forgiveness is in your relationship. It's the oil that keeps the engine running. Yes, love is all part of the umbrella, but you've got to have those components in abundance to stay married long term.
And going back,
And
going back to the house analogy, you know, you can have the right framework, you can have the right foundation, but you still need wiring.
Going back to foundation, you can have the right foundation, you can have the right blueprint, but you still need the wiring. Oh, I love it. Because let me back up. Let me unpack that real quick for those that may have tuned in late. They have been comparing their relationship to building a house. And so when you build a house, you got to have a blueprint. You got to have the right foundation. And now he's talking about, and you have to have the individuality of the house, the things that are just uniquely you. But now he's talking about the wiring. And if you don't have compassion and forgiveness and patience, which they say are must-have characteristics, it's like not having oil in your engine of your car. Something's going to go wrong. That engine is going to blow out. That relationship will implode, or it'll no longer cease to be, or people will step outside of the relationship to get what it is that they think they may need because they're not having that in the house. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Y'all heard it. The book is Do You Love Me Still? Do You Love Me Still? Co-authors by Dorian H. Nash and Sean Nash. Now, Dorian, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share off of one of the titles of a chapter. And each chapter, as I've been sharing with our listeners, is based on a song. So if you'll take a minute, we've got about three to 4 minutes, and then I want you guys to tell our listeners where they can get the book, because people on Facebook are like, I got to read the book. I must get the book. And so when you finish, I want to go ahead and chime in to let folks know where they can get the book. Go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. So one of my favorite chapters is Forever in My Life by Prince. That's one of our favorite songs, and that's talking about commitment. And, again, when we're talking about what it takes to be committed, all those other things that we just unpacked about having that right footing, having that right foundation, and then being able to ask those real questions, can I be committed to you, and then vice versa, and have the expectation that that you're worthy to have the same level of commitment that you're willing to give to somebody else. If you're willing to be more committed to someone than they're willing to be committed to you, then you really need to look at what you're doing.
Hold it. I got to unpack that. If you're willing to be more committed to someone than they're willing to be committed to you, that is outside of the spectrum of having a healthy, loving, wholesome relationship.
Yes.
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Go ahead, Sean. You were about to add to that. I'm going to let you unpack what you need to unpack.
Right. And I'll be very, very short, but I agree with that wholeheartedly. Commitment is an all-encompassing idea. It is not just, well, I'm here and I pay the bills, I took out the garbage, right? Commitment is about embracing, and we talk later in the book about it. It's about embracing everything about your partner, to have the expectations of to expect their successes and not the failures, and to be committed.
Ooh, come on now.
Is an idea that strives to ensure that your partner enjoys as much success and as much love and compassion that you experience in the relationship. You don't go buy a house and then a week later say, I don't like this house, I'm going to buy another. And if you do, man, I need to know you because let me hold a dollar. But, you know, when you're committed, you've put in the work, you've made your choice, and you've done the homework and the work necessary to know that that's where you want to be. And you have to convey that every day, good or bad, through the good and the bad, through the highs and the lows, through the good times and the winters, the cold times, right? When you show that you're willing to be there, you'll always get back to love.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I need more time with y'all. I need more time with you all. It is more than just taking out the trash. It is more than just washing the dishes or cooking the dinner or sweeping the floor. It is about showing your mate that you want to be there and that you've done your homework and that you are able to and you're working your darndest to try to convey to them and to show them that you're willing to do whatever it is you got to do to show up, be there for them is really what commitment is all about. The idea that striving to understand your partner is deserving of your all, basically.
Yes, right. It's about being physically, mentally, and spiritually present for your partner.
Yes. About being physically, mentally, and spiritually
present.
Yes. And emotionally.
Yes.
And emotionally.
For yourself.
Present. Yep. You know what? Y'all right here, y'all blowing my mind in a really great way. So I need to be able to share with our listeners how they can get your book. And then I want to have you guys come back on and we'll dissect another couple of the chapters. So, but for now, let me know how our listeners can purchase the book, Do You Love Me Still? And then I know you've got a screening, I believe, or something that's coming up. If you want to share about that or
Absolutely.
You want to share that another time, it's fine. But please, what's the website so I can chat it now on Facebook Live?
So you can go to our website, doyoulovemestill.com, and you can purchase the book through our website. You can also get it at Amazon. And just type in Sean and Dorian H. Nash and the book also, or you can type in the title of the book at Amazon.com. But again, of course, go to our website. I also happen to have written a stage play called Couples, Secrets, Truth, and Love, which was inspired by us writing this book together. And we are having a screening of the stage play on August 5th at the Studio Movie Grill on 87th Street.
Awesome.
In Chicago. At 4 p.m.
Awesome. Studio Movie Grill on 87th in Chicago. So they can go to doyoulovemestill.com to purchase the book or on Amazon. Either they can put in Dorian H. Nash and Sean Nash or the title
yes.
of the book. And as a person who has product on the website, you guys go to Do You Love Me Still and pick up the book. And if you're on Amazon and you want to get it downloaded or something, go that route as
yes.
well.
Yes.
I promise you guys have been full of a wealth of information. Sean, I'm glad you could join your wife on the radio show.
Yes.
I've got the Rael is a doctor. He's a relationship scientist, a neuroscientist actually, and he and I have done many a show together. He was like, great show. He goes around the country teaching about relationships, and he just gave some major thumbs up to the both of you because this information was so incredibly useful and valuable and practical. But this is the thing that I want to share with our listeners real quick, and then we're gonna chime out. I listened to the two of you interact with one another, and there was not one time that maybe Dorian wanted to come in and say, Sean, sweetheart, would you mind if I answer that? Or Sean is like, oh, baby, can I just add something to it? It's the courtesy that the two of you had away from the cameras that, and away from the microphone that I'm hearing. It's like Ray Charles could see it. He's blind and dead. You two like each other and love each other. And I want to thank you for the example. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Dorian, for being my special guest today. Again, you guys can get the book
thank
at doyoulovemestill.com. God bless you. May God keep you. That's the end of the Margail OMG radio show. You guys can also check me out on my website, maragail.com. Until next Thursday.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
God bless.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And listen to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.